Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Tonight we consider verses 1 through 21. What happens when the patriarch dies? Some of you did not grow up in Christian homes. Your parents were not Christians. You came to faith as a child, perhaps in CEF or some other children's program, or perhaps you were only saved as an adult. Your faith is rooted in your personal encounter with God. Some of you grew up in Christian homes. Your parents had strong faith. You were always in church. That was my situation. Because when I was born, you know, you didn't take a baby out for 2 weeks before, you know, back in those days, they didn't take them out the day after they were born. So from the time I was about 2 weeks old on, I was always in church, always. And your parents were an example to you of their faith, and you were taught to believe from as early as you can remember. Children who live in the shadow of their parents' faith at some point must make faith their own. They can do it as a child. Nothing wrong with that. But at some point, whether as a child or later on, each individual must know that they themselves believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that they are not trusting in their parents' faith to get them into heaven. That's Isaac's situation. As we look at Genesis chapter 25 tonight, we're going to do a little summary of Abraham's life. We've been studying Abraham's life, and we'll just go briefly through some of the major events in his life. Abraham stepped out in faith, Genesis chapter 12, verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Remember, the Lord said, I want you to go to a place. You've never been there before. You don't know where it is. I'm going to take you there. And Abraham, as Abram in those days, trusted the Lord and followed him. At some point, there was a dispute between his men and Lot's men, and he settled that dispute, and Abraham showed wisdom in that regard. Another time, Lot was captured by some folks, and Abraham went and rescued Lot and got all the stuff back and everything. So Abraham did a lot of amazing and interesting things in his lifetime. At some point, he was able to converse personally with God. Genesis chapter 15, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham has a conversation with God, a personal conversation with God. And at some point, he's called God's friend. And Abraham had such an open relationship with God. If you recall, he was able to negotiate with God regarding the destruction of Sodom. If there's 50 righteous people, remember, and then he got it all the way down to 10. And God was very menial with Abraham in that conversation. Promised that he would spare Sodom if there were just 10 righteous people. Of course, there weren't. And then God told Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. And without a question, as we noted before, there were times that Abraham offered alternatives to what God proposed, but not this time. Not this time. Without question, he simply did what God asked him to do. In his old age, he continued to be active and very much in charge. We observed before how Sarah had died. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 1, it says, Then again Abraham took a wife, After he was 140 years old, he took another wife. Because that's how old he was when Isaac got married. And she bare him 6 sons, and they're named there. Abraham made a will before he died. And in verse 5, it says, Genesis chapter 25, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines, the other wife that he had, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and that would have included Ishmael, I assume, from the text, and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. Even in death, Abraham demonstrated strength of character. Verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. That's 175 years old when he died. Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. 175 years old. This was 100 years after he left his father's house. He gave up the ghost, not ravished by disease or pain, but easily in a quiet manner, at a good old age, not attended with inconveniences and disadvantages usually experienced in old age. He was full of years, filled and satisfied, and was gathered to his people, and becomes the patriarch of paradise. Luke chapter 16, verse 22. This is the context in which there was the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus died. And in reference to that, it says here in verse 22, Luke chapter 16, verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom in paradise. Now think about this for a moment with me. Who all was in paradise at this point? Adam and Eve, Abel, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, and his descendants, Arphaxad, Salah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Sarug. All the people of the godly line are there. Hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, I don't know, maybe hundreds of thousands of people by this point. By Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, consider Moses is there, Joshua is there, David is there, Isaiah is there, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all of the prophets. But when Lazarus died and went to this place where all of these saints are, it's called Abraham's bosom. Why was he singled out? As Romans chapter 4 tells us, he's the father of faith. A remarkable man. The friend of God. So, here we have this man who, even in death, in paradise, is singled out among all those saints. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 5. Abraham was 140 years old when Isaac was married. We know this because in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 20, it tells us that Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Isaac's 40 years old when he got married, then Abraham is 140 years old. He would then be 160 years old when Jacob and Esau were born, because it would be 20 years after Isaac and Rebekah got married before they would have children. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 26. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, 60 years old when Rebekah bare these children, 20 years after they got married. So Jacob and Esau would have been 15 years old when Abraham died. He died at the age of 175. Genesis chapter 25, verse 7, and these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, an 115 years. Which means that Isaac is now 75 years old. Ishmael was 89 years old, according to Genesis chapter 16 and verse 16, where Abraham was 84 at the time that Ishmael was born. 75 years under the shadow of this remarkable man, his father, Abraham. Kind of makes me think of the situation over there in England where the Prince Charles had to wait 70 years for his mother to pass so he could become king. She became queen, and Elizabeth became queen at the age of 25 or 26, something like that, 26. Reigned for 70 years, and Charles would have been, would have been, 3 years old when she became queen? And so all his life, he's 73 years old, all his life he lived under the shadow of his mother. Well, here Isaac, for 75 years, lives under the shadow of his father. But Isaac suddenly becomes a wealthy man. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 5. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Remember the things that he had. Abraham had sheep. He had oxen. He had jewels of gold. He had jewels of silver. He had raiment. He had precious things. He had servants. And he had all the promises of God. All of that was given to Isaac. Suddenly now, Isaac is on his own. And besides that, Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 through 21, the promise of the land, all the land of Canaan, Isaac has inherited it now. In verses 9 and 10, he tells us that he has included Ishmael and the burial of their father. Verse 9, Genesis chapter 25, verse 9, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre. And if you recall, that was the place that Abraham had purchased for the burial of his wife Sarah. And so they bury him there. And then in verse 11, it says that God blessed Isaac. It came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well, Lahairoi. Isaac had to learn to depend upon God on his own. This event that we're about to look at took place while Abraham was still living. And so God blessed Isaac with the opportunity to learn to trust him on his own before his father passed. It's the event of Jacob and Esau being born. Rebekah had been barren for 20 years. Verse 19, Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Now, he will be 60 years old when she gives birth, and so 20 years lapsed. They're married 20 years, no children. So he entreats the Lord for his wife. The word entreat sort of goes along with the New Testament word supplication. This is more of an intense kind of prayer. Not just, well, Lord, please give us a child. But Isaac was really intent. He knows he is the child of promise. Do you think he remembered the time his father offered him on the altar? I mean, something like that would stick in your mind all your life, would it not? He knew he was the son of promise. He understood all of the theology of that. Abraham would not have gone without explaining it all to him. Which means he has to have a son himself to carry on what was promised to Abraham. And now 20 years has passed and he has no children whatsoever. And so he gets very intense with God, asking that he would intervene and allow his wife to bear a son. And the Lord answered his prayer. Verse 21, Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Parental influence is very important. If we want to know one major reason why we are having so much difficulty in our nation today, it is because of the breakdown of the family. There is a very small percentage of children these days that live in a home with both father and mother. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, please. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. The word instruction here includes exercises in discipline, teaching children right from wrong, and along the way, correcting what is wrong in a child's life. That's the instruction of the father. The law of the mother is a code to live by. This verse, speaking of parents and children, describes the effect that the instruction of the father and the law of the mother should have in a child's life. Verse 9, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." Or like this, "When you tend to get off the path, the instruction of the father and the law of the mother will whisper in your ear, No, this is the way. Walk in this way." You see, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go." That's the responsibility of a parent. "Actively instill within a child's thinking the way he should go." As opposed to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15, "The rod and proof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Don't leave children to themselves. They're not able to make decisions for themselves at young ages. They need guidance. They need training. And so Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, "It is right for children to obey their parents in the Lord." It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Right as opposed to wrong. Obey. Because your parents have an obligation to God to give you godly instruction. Such obedience to parents is pleasing to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. "Don't provoke them." It says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." In other words, don't frustrate your children to the point, to a breaking point, where instead of obeying, they rebel. But nurture them. The word nurture suggests the responsibility to curb the flesh and encourage virtue. The nurture and admonition, confrontational counseling. There's that Greek word nouthetic. We've had it before. Confrontational counseling. Constructive criticism, we might say. Children need that. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." So fathers are to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is important for faith to begin in a child's life. Jesus wanted the children to come to him. Mark chapter 10 and verse 13. Mark chapter 10. And verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. Now, consider this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Timothy was saved as a child. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. If you look that word up in Strong's Concordance, you'll find out that the word for child here means a very young child. How many here were saved before the age of 10? Look at all these young people up here and all those back there. Saved before the age of 6. Yeah, look at all these young people up here. A couple back there. Saved, yep. Oh, over here too. Saved before 6. Timothy was probably before the age of 6. He was a young child, a very young child. It can happen. People can get saved at that age. Really saved. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He was influenced by the faith and instruction of his mother and grandmother, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. At whatever point, whether it is at the age of 4 or 5 or 6 or 16 or 26, every person must know that his faith is his own and not his parents. Psalm 49, verse 6. Psalm 49, verse 6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. One human being cannot save another human being. It's not possible. Only Christ can save you. If you're trusting in your parents to save you, you're trusting in the wrong source. You, each individual, must trust in Christ. And go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 13. Where it says, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it, though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. Now, these men have righteousness because of their faith in Christ. Remember the example of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And so the only reason these three men can have any righteousness is because they personally had trusted in the gospel of the Messiah. But it's clear that you cannot transfer righteousness from one person to another person. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness. So it continues in verse 15. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered. Parents cannot transfer their righteousness to their children. Not even Noah and Daniel and Job could do that. And he makes that point two more times in verse 18 and verse 20. So here was Isaac. He knew he was a son of promise. He'd been married for 20 years. He had no children. What do I do? I can't go to my father because he can't help me. I have to go to God. And so Isaac himself went to the Lord to pray. And Isaac had to learn to trust the Lord himself. We do not inherit our faith from our parents. We might learn about faith from our parents, and hopefully children do learn about faith from their parents. But we do not inherit our parents' faith. Each person must come to faith on their own. If any child is relying on his parents' faith for his salvation, there has to be a time in his life when his faith is his own. That can be at any age. It can be at the age of 4. It can be at the age of 14. It can be at the age of 24. At whatever point, your faith must be genuinely yours and not your parents'. But if, as a child, you only believe because you are mimicking your parents' faith, there must come a time in your life when you personally call upon the name of the Lord and receive him as your Savior. I trust that's true of each of you, that you know your faith is yours. Christ is yours, not just your parents. He's yours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this instruction. And thank you that Isaac did learn this lesson. I pray that you will work in the hearts of our young people, especially this night, that they would be confident that they're not trusting in their parents' faith, they're trusting in you. That in their heart, their faith is real. They truly have believed themselves in Christ. Give each person listening to this lesson the assurance of their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.